As Pastor Aaron mentioned before, we've been reading together Proverbs 9 all week. So I hope you've been there. In this time, we're going to read aloud together the first six verses, Proverbs 9, 1 through 6. So if you'll find that and stand with me, we're going to read this aloud together. This then is the text for today. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. She has prepared her food. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her maidens. She calls from the tops of the heights of the city. Whoever is naive, let him turn in here. To him who lacks understanding, she says, "Come, eat of my food and drink of the wine I have mixed. Forsake your folly and live and proceed in the way of understanding." May God bless the reading of his word. So this morning, you have two invitations. First, you have an invitation from Mrs. Wisdom. It is beautifully and perfectly appointed as an invitation to a grand wedding, the betrothal of a king. And at the same time, you also hold in your hand another invitation, a sort of an afterthought, as it's written on a napkin with a pencil, torn to pieces, barely legible. You have two invitations this morning. One address is 901 Proverbs Street. The other, 913 Proverbs Street. And as we come together, you have a decision to make. Am I going to attend the feast at 901 Proverbs Street, or am I going to go to the rival party just down the block, 913 Proverbs Street? And as Proverbs unfolds here in this pivotal chapter, chapter 9, it says, there are these two homes, appointed for feasts, set in front of you, and you hold invitations to both of these feasts. Let's talk about the first one. The first one, 901 Proverbs Street. It's a feast thrown by Mrs. Wisdom. It says in the first part of our text today, in chapter 9, verse 1, that when you see the house, it is everything that you would hope a home would be. Beautifully built, describes seven carefully hewn pillars. It's complete, it's sturdy, it's whole. This is a home of goodness. And as you see between the pillars, there are windows that go all the way around that this home, as you walk inside, it is bathed in light. The sunlight comes into the rooms. And in the back, you see the barbecue. And all of it is covered in the glow of the sun. Every room holds a lamp, and the lamp is perfectly lit. Light is everywhere. And as you look at the dinner table, it is set meticulously. And before you, it's described in verse 2, so 9:2, it says here in this translation, she has prepared her food. That's probably not the best way to translate this. It's something more along the lines of, she has slaughtered the slaughter. She has gone out and she has killed the fattened calf. All of everything you would expect in a grand feast, a barbecue, has been prepared just as it needs to be, with careful attention. She has brought in the best of meats, and in the same way, she has brought in the best of wines. Now, I'm not a sommelier, but here we see this mixture of wine and water, and I want us to use another text to help us understand what's happening here. Look up on the screens with me. You have John 2, 7 through 10. As the Christ attends the wedding at Cana of Galilee, And so Jesus says to them, fill the water pots with water so they may be filled up to the brim. And he says to them, draw out some now and take it to the head waiter. And so they take it to him. And when the head waiter tasted the water, which had become wine, he didn't know where it came from. But the servants knew who had drawn the water, or the servants who had drawn the water knew. And the head waiter called the bridegroom and said to him, every man serves the good wine first, and when the people have drunk freely, then he serves the poorer wine. But you've kept the good wine until now. This mixture is holy and purposeful, as the Christ would have prepared for the wedding feast. So as you look at this party that's happening at 901 Proverbs Street, no expense has been spared. The home itself is perfect. The spread is exactly what you would want. And in fact, walking into this home for this feast with Mrs. Wisdom would be the best possible decision of your life. And as you're staring into those windows, you see that napkin in your other hand. It's 913 Proverbs Street. And your mind starts to wonder, well, what's going on over there? Maybe I'm missing something, because there's lots of people going over there to that feast over at 913 Proverbs Street. It is just hordes of people going that direction. I don't know why anyone would go to that party, but maybe I'm missing something. And so as you look down at chapter 9, so Proverbs 9 and verse 13, it says, Miss Folly is sitting on the porch. And the sitting is intentional here, because this house is defined by laziness. And she's just screeching, come down here, calling anybody that would listen to her, come this way. And it's interesting, when you look down at verse 17, how this feast is described. It says the water is stolen. And what you hear in this stolen water, there wasn't the effort to draw it out. There wasn't the effort to take care of the well. This was water that was come by easily. And she says, it's so much sweeter when you don't have to work for it. And then she says, we've got bread, the food's out there. But the key here, where she's talking about the food and the bread, she says it's all in secret. When you look at 913 Proverbs Street, it's closed off. There's no windows. It's like a casino or a grocery store. You can't see in. And when the door swings open, it's just black inside. It's this house of darkness. And as she's screaming from her chair on the front porch, she's saying, that's the selling point. When you come in here, nobody can see you. When you come in here, nobody will judge you. You can just cover yourself in barbecue sauce if you want to. We don't care. Do whatever you want to do. It's easy and it's hidden. And people just keep walking in that direction. And so you stand here with these invitations, and this house of wisdom is immaculate. It's everything you would hope for. But everybody's going to 913 Proverbs Street. And you ask yourself, why is this happening? And I'll tell you why this happens. It's because our natural tendency as human beings, this is every one of us, this is me, this is you, this is the church, this is all, our natural tendency is right now, we always want to take the easy way out. We save the hard work for later. We save the difficult things for later. We save the stuff we don't want to do for later. Right now, I'm going to do easy. And so everyone starts running to 913 Proverbs Street. Because when you get to the door at 913 Proverbs Street just swings open with the breeze. It's just kind of flapping back and forth. But when you walk up to 901 Proverbs Street, there's this door made of solid wood, stands 10 feet tall. It seems impossible to open. Yeah, this week, I actually went to lunch with one of my best friends in ministry, who's the pastor over at Trinity Baptist Church, Matt Homeyer. I love him. We've worked together for 20 years. And so Matt and I went to lunch this week to talk about Easter and how Easter went there, how Easter went here. So we're at a restaurant, and Matt's sitting outside. And so I'm going to go outside, and I walk up to this door, and just like any door you'd see in a restaurant, there's a bar, and I push the bar, and I step, and it won't do anything. The door won't go, and so I push a little harder, and it still won't go. And so now I think I'm kind of looking foolish at this point. Well, what do I do? And so I just kind of step back, and I needed to go get some water anyway. So I went and got a drink of water from the water station, and I look, and there's a waitress walking towards this door. So I'm going to watch and see what she does. And I kid you not, this is what she does. She gets down, and she looks like a linebacker getting ready to tackle somebody. And she braces, and she jumps into the door with her shoulder and shoves the door open, and it swings open, and she goes outside. And so I kind of laugh to myself. I'm holding a glass of water. And so I guess I'm going to try this too. And so I did the same thing, and finally the door opened. Now, I say that because when you come to 901 Proverbs Street, you see these heavy wooden beams that function as a door. They're fastened together by these iron fasteners. And it's so heavy that you can't even open it yourself. You start to push, and it doesn't swing open like the other door swings open. And because the heavy work of the Christ must be done. So if you look with me, the key here in this is Proverbs 9:6. It's the first word of Proverbs 9:6. It says, forsake. It continues on, forsake your folly. To come into this feast of Mrs. Wisdom, there's this hard work that must be done in our lives. This forsaking of the self that is done in and through the person of Jesus Christ. So that when Jesus walks with us through that door, he pushes it open by the authority of heaven. And we walk in with Jesus. This is not a door you can walk in alone, but it takes two. The power of Christ in your heart. And I want you to recognize when he says forsake, it is this letting go that has to happen in our life. There is this release where there are things from our past we have to let go of. There are things from our past that we have to take off. There is sin that we harbor in our hearts that Jesus has to rip out of that heart before we can go into the feast. There is this time of repentance that we have to go through with Jesus. You can't come into this way of wisdom, which is the way of Jesus Christ, and remain the same. There has to be change in your heart and change in your life. This is a way of new life that's different from the life of this world and different from your life before. You have to adjust to life in and with Jesus. You cannot meet Jesus and stay the same. You cannot walk through the door into this wedding feast without Jesus and remaining the same. There has to be a change in your heart, a forsaking of yourself, a forsaking of your heart, a forsaking of your mind and your understanding, so that all of that baggage of your life and your past is left outside. It does not come with you. It is removed in and by the person of Jesus Christ. So I want you to recognize that there is this taking off that has to happen, and we hate this. We hate these changes that have to happen. Our flesh always fights back against. It's not just you. It's all of us. The flesh fights back against that change that Jesus is making in our hearts and our lives. Remember, he's like a potter that is shaping us into new people. Our flesh hates that reshaping, but it's exactly what we need, and it is the forsaking of the self to walk with Jesus. Now, there's another thing that has to happen, and there's another way that we talk about this in Scripture. So there is this sense of taking off. So it's a putting aside of the old self. It's putting aside of sin. But then there's also this sense of putting on. So throughout the Scripture, there's a theme of being clothed in the way of Christ. You see the epistles use this a lot, Romans, 1 Corinthians, Ephesians, Colossians. You see the same kind of analogy. I want to show you one of those. This is Ephesians 4. It'll be on the screens too. Ephesians 4, 22 through 24, that in reference to your former manner of life, so this is what we take off, this is the painful work Jesus does that we fight back against. So in your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, that you are corrupt. So a part of this walking into 901 Proverbs Street is an acknowledgement in yourself that you are corrupt, and only Christ brings a sense of holiness, and that you would be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And then verse 24, and put on this new self. You are clothed differently, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness and the truth. That you are putting on this festal garment of Jesus Christ that's something akin to the brilliant linen garments of the armies of heaven. That Jesus is standing there at this heavy door, holding it open for you, and handing you this garment of the Christ. And Jesus says, put on this holiness as you come into the feast. And so as we take off the old self and we put on Christ's festal garments, there is a dramatic change that happens in our life. This is what new life looks like. You are different when you come to know Jesus. You are different when the Spirit of God comes on you. You are not like you were before, and you are not like this world anymore. There's change. And this hard work of change is going on in our hearts right now. What is God calling you to leave behind this morning? What's God calling you to forsake, to let go of? Because there's things in each of our lives that we need to put away. And in the same breath, what is Jesus telling you to put on? What is Jesus calling you to? The holiness that he's refining in your life, what does it look like this morning? This is the hard work of forsaking yourself and putting on Christ we all have to go through to walk through that door at 901 Proverbs Street. So what ends up happening, because that's such hard work, and because our natural fleshly default is laziness unto easiness, we do our best to forgo that kind of change. We do our best to avoid what God wants to do in our hearts and in our lives. You see, it's not that we want to be evil. It's not that we want to be foolish. It's really more that we're just lazy and don't want to deal with that right now. And as we do, we end up stumbling down to 913 Proverbs Street with everybody else. Stumbling into the house of folly as the lady on the porch screams, "Come in here." And what you find as you go into that darkness is that you start to hear thud after thud after thud. That though you have free rein in those dark hallways, every floor contains a trap door that falls out from under you. You fall into the dirt, your own grave. That's where folly leads all of us, to the depths of the grave. And you hear many crying out from below that are dying because they stumbled into folly's festivities. See, our lazy self sees this change that Jesus is talking about as a hindrance, where Jesus is holding that door open for us, and he's handing us his feastal garments. He's saying, come. Come and dine with the King. That invitation is open. See, when we use the word later, that is the height of folly. Later is not a valid option here. Later is disobedience. Later is falling into folly and ending up in our grave. But the power of Christ is new life in you and a glorious feast that's far beyond our comprehension. You come to the Christ and know this new life and be saved. Let's pray together. Lord, we want to know your wisdom. Lord, we're tired of the foolishness of this world. Lord, we're tired of the pain of sin. We're tired of the burden of guilt. Lord, we pray that your Spirit would come and transform this morning. Lord, get us out of these old clothes and give us something new. Lord, let us rejoice in the power and glory of your feast, Lord, that we might dine with you this morning. And Lord, we pray that every single one of us would be responsive to that tedious work of the Spirit in our hearts and our minds. Lord, that we'd be willing servants accepting your charge and your change. Lord, that we would faithfully go wherever you call us to go. That we would long to be with you. That we would long to know you. That we would long to see your Spirit. We pray that you would come and make it so among us this morning. It's in the name of our Lord and risen Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
This year, 2024, our theme for the First Baptist family is love your neighbor. Now that includes you. We believe when we live out the second greatest commandment, it helps us build meaningful connections with one another. It helps us be more of who God has called us to be as human beings and to join him in what he is doing in all the world. The two simple commands, love God, love your neighbor. Let's do that 2024.